Hi, this is Jim with Sid. Welcome to today's Outsports podcast, a week before Halloween. And Sid was in costume this week, but you were learning how to fence.
I was like, oh, shit. I didn't have that much to do.
Yeah, did you have one of the most funky masks on and everything? And
I did. I was at the USOC Training Center in Colorado Springs, we got those of us who were there, and there were other people in the LGBT Sports Coalition, Les Johnson, Helen Carroll, and Ashlyn Johnson, and we learned how to fence, which was really cool. And it's a sport that I'd always thought that I would enjoy, and we all loved it. It was so fun.
So I'm 6'5". Would it give me an advantage or disadvantage? Because I have a hard time getting low.
So, well, there were two guys who instructed us. One was about 6'5", and one was about maybe 5'9", 5'10". And they talked about that, how it's just different people have different advantages. Obviously, your reach would be a big advantage, but, you know, somebody else's quickness or ability to duck and ability to move underneath could be their advantage. So they said that the one interesting piece is that of the top 12, I think it was top 12 fencers in the world, half are left-handed. Which was interesting.
Yeah, it might be like boxing, where sometimes left-handers have an advantage. You know, it's hard to fight a left-hander if you're used to being a righty because of the way the punches come and everything.
Well, they said that it probably comes from this higher level, there really isn't an advantage. But at lower levels in high school and juniors, because the level of fencing isn't as high, there is an advantage, and the left-handed people, because they will do a little bit better at that age, will stick with the sport more. So they said that there are probably simply more elite-level left-handed fencers because they get that advantage early on and they stick with it more.
Got it.
But you weren't more about fencing than you ever
exactly.
Wanted.
Exactly.
No.
Well, but you were there. There were a couple of major panels on LGBT issues this week, and we're going to talk about naked rowers and photogenic players, so stick with the podcast, but we'll have some serious stuff first. You and I were on a panel at USC, which is on LGBT things in sports. It was a three-day panel. They had some great people there. They had John Branch from the New York Times, Kate Fagan from ESPN, Sarah Tuolo, Billy Beane, Dave Copay, Wade Davis, Pat Griffin. It was a really really packed 3 days. And then at the USOC, you had the USOC obviously there. Was the NFL there also?
Yeah, the USOC, the NFL, the PGA, NCAA, and NASCAR. They all came together. Last year they did this in New York at the NFL offices. This year they did it in Colorado Springs at the U.S. Olympic Training Center. And they have a diversity inclusion symposium. There were about 100 people this year, about 50 people last year, so they doubled up. A lot of national governing bodies were there, USA Swimming and USA Volleyball and Track and Field and Wrestling and Rugby. And they all came there to talk about, you know, how to continue to open up opportunities for minorities, and minorities and women, because women still have trouble getting a foothold in sports.
So this wasn't a specific LGBT conference, so it was all about diversity.
Yeah, there were three main issues they tackled this year: gender, sexual orientation, and disabilities.
Well, at the one at USC, I was listening in on a panel that had John Branch, Kate Fagan, and Howard Bragman yesterday, and it was an interesting question from the audience about a number of colleges in the U.S., where they have something in their charter or whatever that basically say you could be kicked out of school for being gay. Now, it's
right.
Seldom enforced, but the question was, should other schools boycott playing those schools? And he gave an example from the 60s where several eight colleges at the time, their students got together and said, we don't want to play schools that don't allow black players on their team. And it was the first thing John Branch said was, oh, great story idea, like something that I had never thought of, but it was an interesting thing I had not sort of considered before. And we had done that story, or it was written for us by Derek Schell. He's the first openly gay Division II basketball player, but he goes to Hillsdale College, which is one of the most conservative colleges in the country, where, you know, homosexuality is, I don't know if it's prohibited, but it's certainly probably frowned upon, and yet he's openly gay. So there's this weird dichotomy, these places you would think, you know, maybe have certain charters. And, I mean, do you have a take on any of that stuff?
Well, so I do. And first of all, I don't think Hillsdale College would fall into that category. I don't think that they say you can't be gay. There's certainly I don't think there's anything there that says you can be kicked off campus for being gay. So I'm not sure Hillsdale is a good example, but I have been talking with a collegiate athlete who was kicked out of school this year specifically for being gay. He's at a Christian college in California, and yeah, they have right in their student handbook, it is against school policy to have homosexual activities. And it's also against school policy to have any sexual activity outside of heterosexual marriage. And this kid was kicked out of school. Kicked out of school. Removed from the school. Not just the team. The school. For living with his boyfriend. So it's and so National Center for Lesbian Rights is getting involved, and so yeah, there are schools that really do have this stuff, and I think it's a fascinating idea to boycott these schools.
Now, do they have the legal right to do that?
It's a good question. I mean, they're a private institution. Whether they get government funding is a question. The other piece is this particular case has other pieces to it that make it complicated. For example, they say that he wasn't kicked out of school for being gay. They say he was kicked out of school for punching his boyfriend, which they have absolutely no evidence of him doing. And they're saying, well, it's not because you're gay, it's because you were violent. But they have no evidence for it. So if they removed him for something that they have no evidence of, And the boyfriend says that he was never punched or that the student never laid a hand on him, then why is he kicked out of school? So it's a good question. Can they kick him out? What government funding do they get, if any? I don't know, but we're looking into it.
Well, and the same question, and Kate from ESPN brought it up about Brittany Griner, who went to Baylor that has the same prohibition, and yet because she was Brittany Griner, the best women's basketball player in the country, they kind of had a don't ask, don't tell policy.
Yeah.
You know, and so I guess it's an interesting story that I think we're going to have a story on that specific one. But it's the kind of stuff that sometimes you come to these conferences and you hear something, especially from an audience member, that sort of gets you thinking and I hadn't thought before. And that's the value of these panels. Sometimes it's the same people saying the same stuff, but then you realize for a lot of audience members, they may not have heard this stuff before. You know, you and I can go there and say, oh, we've heard the same stuff from ourselves. We heard ourselves talk so much, and then you hear these other people, and it's like, well, people in the crowd thought it was, you know, fascinating or interesting.
Yeah, well, it is interesting. Well, several people came up to me after the panel at USOC and said, I just, you know, thank you. This, you know, shed a light on some things I don't really know about. One of the interesting pieces was, you know, I've said a couple times that I don't believe in the term gay Jackie Robinson because black rights are different now than they were. Gay rights are different now than black rights were in 1947. And a couple black guys at big schools in their athletic departments came up to me and said, wow, thank you for saying that because, you know, we keep hearing that we're all the same and we kind of feel like it's not quite the same. And they really appreciated me saying that, so it was, you know, there was some new ground broken, and I think some bridges built.
Yeah, because it's a shorthand term everybody uses, and it just gets used without anybody even thinking of what it means.
Right, exactly.
Shifting gears across the pond, these guys could probably row across the pond. The Warwick Rowers, it's a university in England, and they have a calendar they use to raise money. Is it all the money goes to the anti-bullying thing Ben Cohen started stand-up or some of it?
Well, I don't think it's stand-up, is it? They created some new organization.
Educational called Challenge. Anyway, it's an anti-bullying group, and the way to raise money for it is to basically have these guys posing, like you said, like Abercrombie and Fitch models, naked.
They're not just guys, Jim. They're really smoking hot guys.
Are they all rowers? Or are they guys they got to say this is...
Oh, have they gone the Duderstad route? I don't know. I assume they were all rowers. I don't know. I just assumed. But I'll tell you this much. They look like it looks like an Abercrombie and Fitch catalog. They're gorgeous. They have beautiful bodies. They're handsome, and they're all naked and they're playing around and I don't know. It's incredibly titillating, much like the Abercrombie and Fitch catalog.
But I find it interesting that A, they're getting a huge following in the U.S. The story's been, I mean, we had it. A million other sites had the same story. And they're doing it for a good cause. I mean, they have a specific agenda, you know, challenging homophobia among young people. And I think this kind of stuff is a good way to use this. They're not just using it to raise money just for their team. And, you know, let's – and then you had a phrase about predominantly straight men.
Well, yeah, first of all, some of the money is going to their team. It is a fundraiser for their
Correct.
Team as well. But then they're also using it to battle homophobia. And yeah, one of the press release or what they had on the website said that, you know, it's a group of predominantly straight men, which, well, I guess one of two things: either they're just leaving room for the possibility that there is a closeted guy on the team, or there is a gay guy in the midst here. I don't know. That's I would like to know which one is gay and if he's single.
Yeah, obviously, and it's interesting.
Me and everybody else.
It's interesting, again, that it goes to the thing that was at one of the panels we were at the USC thing where they talk about I think Pat Griffin mentioned it, the lack of straight women allies in sports.
Yeah.
That all the allies are men, and they're men who are obviously comfortable enough in their sexuality not to be threatened, and so they'll do stuff like Ben Cohen posing in his underwear and selling it to gay men. Right, and it's just and these rowers are the same way. Some of them might be gay. They don't care. They don't care. Probably you think everybody's gay because they're out there naked, you know, running around and looking like they're having a ball. Although if they shot it anywhere but the summer in northern England, they'd probably be cold as crap.
Right. Well, it's yeah, like you said, it's just it's powerful that these guys do it, and it's just something that, I mean, just remember 5 or 6 years ago. We were struggling to find straight guys in sports who would stand up and say this kind of stuff. And you had the Ben Cohen and the Scott Fujita. But now it's just so cool and it's just so everywhere that it's almost like the word ally. I don't even like it anymore because it's just like everyone who says something positive, is that an ally really? I mean, just because you said like, oh, I like gay people. I can't remember who said it to me this week, but – essentially, ally is a term for decent human being.
Yeah, really. Yeah. What a regular person should be, or
right.
Someone used to hearing it. And finally, just a little fun story that's got a lot of internet attention. There's a player for Notre Dame football named Cam McDaniel, and they played USC. They won 14-10, and there was this great shot of him carrying the ball, kind of getting tackled and coming out of the pile, and he has his helmet off, and he looks like he's posing for a Calvin Klein modeling shot. And so all the internet memes is the most photogenic man in college football, and it's a classic photo because it looks like it's been staged. You know what I mean? Like there's all these sweaty bodies, but it's like, oh, he just looks like, okay, this is another day at practice or something, and it's just gotten so much attention. He's on the Today Show. It's been our most viewed story of the week. It's kind of fascinating what a single photo can do.
Well, what's weird is that it's not a single photo, that it's two – there are two photos from two different angles. And so the two photographers caught this moment with that expression. I mean, the helmets don't come off very often in football.
Yeah, well, the interesting – the one shot all the attention was the Getty images that has him straight
right.
on. I
yes.
found one from USA Today that I didn't see anywhere else that's beside – and it's a sort of – it's a much more of a close-up, but he still has the ball in his hand, so is the play over? I mean, I don't know. You know, it's just funny that he looks like he's so calm in this. I would have this, you know, growl on my face and be, you know, he looks like he's the calmest man in the world.
Well, the play is over as soon as his helmet comes off.
Oh, got it.
And
got
so
it. Okay.
I'm sure, yeah. So it must have just come off, and you know, obviously the guy tackling him was in the middle of the tackle. And
anyway, so he's gotten a lot of attention, and it's just been a fun story. If you haven't seen the pictures, go to the website and I mean, he's a good-looking guy, so that doesn't hurt. But we'll be following Cam McDaniel.
Yes, in addition to his helmet being off, he's quite handsome.
And I guess his girlfriend apparently looks equally stunning, so Cam looks like one happy man.
They all have to have girlfriends, don't
they? And unfortunately. Well, that's all the naked rowers and helmetless football players we have time for. We will talk to you next week.